Our stories of Peter continue this week in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, beginning with verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. May God continue to bless our understanding of this sacred text. And will you pray with me? O gracious and loving God, may the meditations of all of our hearts and minds and very souls be pleasing unto you this day and forevermore. Amen. Well, it's a bit jarring, isn't it, to hear Jesus so angry with Peter? He's so angry that he calls Peter Satan and tells him to get away from him. It seems especially jarring because in the passage just before this one and the one that Rich preached on last week, Jesus asks Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter answers, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds, God bless you, Peter. God himself has let you in on this secret. So why would Jesus suddenly use such a strong, condemning name for his beloved disciple? Well, I think it helps to remember Jesus' encounter with Satan in the wilderness, those 40 days when three times Satan tempts Jesus to follow him rather than to follow God's plan for Jesus. And Jesus finally responds, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Jesus resisted Satan then, and now Peter is tempting him to not follow God's plan. Jesus tells Peter that Jesus must go to Jerusalem, and yes, suffer, die, and on the third day be raised. But like receiving a bad medical diagnosis, Peter only heard the beginning of Jesus' message. And Jesus calls him a stumbling block for setting his mind not on divine things, but on human things. Peter only heard the bad news. He didn't listen long enough to hear the divine good news, the very good news. Well, some of you may be able to relate, and some of you may remember that last spring, I was diagnosed with melanoma, a form of skin cancer. Well, when the doctor called to give me the news, of course, all I heard was cancer. She went on to say a lot more, but I didn't hear anything else after that. When she finally stopped talking, I took a deep breath, pulled out a piece of paper and a pen, and I said, I'm sorry, could you repeat all that? I only heard the very beginning. Well, if I hadn't listened for the rest of the story, I would have missed the good news. Yes, you have cancer, and yes, you will have a couple of really unpleasant surgeries, but you will be fine. I'm so grateful for that piece of good news, and not only am I fine, I no longer take my good health for granted, and that is very good news. Well, I heard a profound phrase this week while attending a clergy breakfast in the heart of East Garfield Park, a neighborhood plagued by poverty, food insecurity, and violence. The keynote speaker described this moment in time as standing at the intersection of lament and joy. They lament the loss of lives due to gun violence, but they stand in the joy and hope of so many people working to repair and restore their neighborhood, and the number of youth and families coming through their doors for help. Well, I think Peter and Jesus were standing at the intersection of lament and joy. Peter can't imagine life without his teacher and friend. He can't bear to think of his suffering and death. And no doubt he's afraid not only for his friend, but for himself as well. in spite of Jesus telling him over and over, "Be not afraid, Peter." And no doubt Jesus is lamenting. Perhaps he needs to be reminded of his own assurances to not be afraid. In his humanity, he surely had to be afraid of what he was facing. No wonder he's angry with Peter. He doesn't need to be tempted to not follow God's plan to travel to Jerusalem. And while they stand at this intersection, Jesus knows the joy that will come. But Peter stopped listening and missed the news of the coming resurrection. Well, it's a normal human tendency, of course, to linger and lament, and it's good and right to honor what we are losing or have lost. But it is also the promise of God's hope and restoration that buoys us through those painful, heartbreaking days. And truly wanting to follow God's will takes a certain amount of surrendering of our own will, thinking our way is better than a divine way. But if we spend time thinking about it and praying about it, we might be able to identify what draws us away from God. Perhaps it's ego. Perhaps it's fear. Maybe it's fatigue. Or maybe we're just too busy. But those temptations that draw us away need not have the last word. The last word belongs to God, and that word and God's will always begins and ends with love. Well, as we wander through Lent, we too are standing at the intersection of lament and joy. We don't like suffering, and we'd like to skip over and move right to the resurrection. Not many of us want to walk with Jesus on Good Friday and remember just how painful his last day on earth was. But I think Jesus would welcome our loving, compassionate company on that final day. And we too, as a congregation, stand at the junction of lament and joy. We mourn the damage to our education building and the loss of some of our sacred spaces where we gather. But as we stand here, let us not lose sight of the hope of restoration. And we stand at the crossroads of lament and hope for our dear youth and Plymouth Fellowship and all involved and touched by that ministry. There are many, many who have been faithfully nurtured and known God's love through their involvement. We mourn with those who are lamenting the temporary pause in this fellowship group. But we weep. We weep with those who weep for the children who were harmed by their participation in this group. And yes, we will linger in that lament for a long, long time. But as we do, let us be sustained by God's hope of healing and restoration, particularly for our young people. We promised this morning to love and care and support our young people. And so may we pray without ceasing to discern God's will for us as disciples of Christ as we navigate a path forward. And yes, we stand at the crossroads of lament and joy as we say goodbye to our dear Pastor Catherine. We lament her move to Appleton, and we will miss her dearly. Her absence will be palpable, and I know how much Catherine is lamenting as well. I told you to bring Kleenex. She will miss this congregation, as she has expressed many times. She'll miss her running group and her neighborhood, and if you haven't heard, she's going to really, really miss Trader Joe's. And so we do stand at this intersection with you, Catherine. And as we do, we can't miss the part of the story where we stand with you in joy as well. While you have said this decision has not been easy, you have prayerfully discerned that God is calling you to this next chapter in your ministry, that God is calling Ben, Seb, and Genevieve to this new home as well. And so we stand with you in both lament and joy and bless you as you follow God's will. And I pray that we stand at all of these intersections as a united congregation. There are times for mourning. There will be times for forgiveness. There will be time for healing. This congregation has faced challenges before, but I am not aware of any quite as challenging as these past 2.5 months. Now is a good time to remember the words we profess when we became members here. We covenant with God and with one another and bind ourselves in the presence of God to walk together in all of God's ways. Just as Peter needed to listen to Jesus's entire message, we too need to listen and pray for God's will to support us during these difficult days, knowing there is much joy that remains here, for God is with us. And as we have promised to bind ourselves together, whatever restoration is needed, may we do so united in God's love. Well, my great mentor and friend, Reverend Catherine Price, always reminded me why showing up to worship or to church is so important. She said, "There will be days when you come to church because you can't pray, and sitting in the pew next to you will be someone who can pray for you. And next Sunday, you come to church because you can pray, but you will be that person that will pray for the person next to you. Who knows? Maybe Scott and Felipe will need us to pick up a paintbrush at some point. Our youth will need us, all of us, to help them heal. And I think of the members of the many groups that Catherine led and has touched, and how each of you involved in those groups will be such a loving, hopeful support to one another. And let us not forget Jesus' words to Peter. Do not become a stumbling block to God's divine will by focusing only on human things. May we stand together, first and foremost, united in Christ. And yes, we will always be diverse in thought. But may our thoughts be prayerfully discerned with God's guiding wisdom as we stand at the intersections of lament and joy and hope. May it be so. Amen. We invite God to receive our heartfelt prayer of confession. And so will you join me in this prayer printed in our bulletin?